way down in Missouri when I heard this lullaby. While the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Welcome to Show of Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. This time we are in Atchison County in the very northwest corner of the state, founded on February 14, 1845. The 83rd County formed is 550 square miles, some of the most beautiful parts of this state, just as far the west as you can go and as far north as you can go in Missouri. We are joined by Kurt Livengood, the presiding commissioner. Commissioner, thank you for the hospitality.
Thank you.
And Richard Burke, the Southern District Commissioner. Commissioner Burke, thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
You betcha. Thank you.
Atchison County was named for U.S. Senator and some say for a while U.S. President David Rice Atchison. It's funny how nobody talks about that. But most folks think the president resigned. His term was up. The new president didn't want to get sworn in on a Sunday. And David Rice Atchison was the third in line. So most folks think he was the president for a day. Luckily, an uneventful Sunday. But that never happened these days. Too many things happen, right?
No, we would argue about who got to be that guy, wouldn't we?
But there was no president, no vice president. They had left. And their term was up, and the new ones wouldn't get sworn in, so there was nobody there until I do think if something would have happened, it'd been interesting to see who was giving the orders. Remember that time President Reagan got shot, and that one guy said, "I'm in charge here." You know, maybe that would have been our own David Rice Atchison.
Yep.
The first settler I could find was a Major Stephen Cooper, 1836. He had obtained a permit from the governor to farm the Pottawatomie Indians. Is that close enough?
Yep.
So I am from the exact opposite corner of the state. I'm from Butler County, down in the very southeastern part of the state. I think I timed it once. I was talking to Judge Fisher. I could drive to the Gulf of Mexico faster than I could his house in Rockport. Yeah. This settled up 4 miles south of Sidney, Iowa. Now, we're in Rockport here in the absolutely beautiful county courthouse. Where is Sidney at from here?
Sidney would be about 20 miles
straight north. Straight north, yeah.
Yep.
So I read where before there was a settlement here, there was a French colony up on the, now I am going to butcher this, my SEMO dialect, the Nishinabwa River.
Nishnibotna.
Now say that again, Commissioner.
Nishnibotna.
Nishnibotka. You said it, not me.
Nishnibotna.
In 1839, Hank Roberts and Thomas Wilson, they built some sod houses near Sonora. That was the first actual houses built. Where would Sonora be here from Rockport?
It'd be up by Watson, so it'd be north and west of here.
I wish I could.
Oh, you got the big map in here. That's right. So, Commissioner Burke, how did your family come to live here in Atchison County?
Well, that's a interesting story. I just did a century farm this last year.
Congratulations.
So, and that's just one side of my family. So they came and they moved here. They originated in Scotland, and they were in Virginia, and they went to Tennessee, and then they moved to Atchison County in the, my century farm has 1879 on it.
Wow.
He bought that piece of land.
That is such, you have so much in common with so many folks. They come over, they land on the East Coast for a generation, they go through the Cumberland Gap for a generation, then it might be two, and they'd be somewhere on a river, come to Missouri.
And then on the other side of that family, the lady that he married was a Stack. Which she was, he was Captain Churl, or I'm not sure, but it was Captain Stack, they called him, was one of the early founders of Atchison County, or just north of here a little ways, and that was my great-grandmother. So, anyway, that's that part of the family, and then my Burke side of the family, I'm actually, I'm a fourth-generation Burke, also in this county, and they came from Virginia the same way, and we're in Tennessee for a while, and then settled southeast of Rockport here, my Burke name family. And
when you're not being a commissioner, do you farm full-time? What do you do?
I do not farm. I'm retired. I worked for a phone company for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a small acreage out in the country, and I don't farm. I'd starve to death if I farmed.
I'm with you on that. What phone company do you work for?
I work for Rockport Telephone Company, a local company right here in town.
Is it a co-op or private?
Yeah, it's a co-op, yes.
It's funny. There are some things that Missouri is such a diverse state. There is no really phone co-ops outside of just North Missouri. That's the last real phone co-op. Some of them become internet co-ops, too.
Yeah.
But the phone co-op is a northern Missouri thing that very few other folks have. Commissioner, how'd your family come live here in Atchison County?
Well, actually, I grew up in Nottoway County, just east of here. But so my dad has had an accounting office here since the late 70s. And so I had graduated college in the late 90s and went to St. Joe, Kansas City area and worked, and then I moved back here in about 2001, 2002. And then I've just lived in Tarkio ever since then, so.
Live and good, is that?
German.
German.
Nice.
Yep.
Guten Tag.
My family actually helped found Elmo over in in Nottoway County.
I just visited Mr. Eckert from up there, up in them parts. I read where the first county court was held in February of 1845 at the home of Conrad Cleofield, and with Alexander McElroy, David Hunsaker, and Elijah Needles was the acting commissioners. They met first. And so, actually, the Supreme Court has not been all that kind to Atchison County throughout time. The U.S. Supreme Court, we should say. I don't want to offend
Jill's
namesake. But, yeah, the United States Supreme Court has been very unkind to Atchison County. The first county seat was in Linden. But after the Honey War, the Supreme Court moved the boundary. We're about 10 miles south, which made Linden still in Missouri, right? But not
really central for the county.
So after that boundary was set, Rockport became more centrally located. The first courthouse was built in Linden, which from 1846 to 56. It was a 20 by 32 story wood frame, and it cost $475. Well, when they decided to move the county seat, there was a little fight between Tarkio and Rockport. And I've heard that fight still goes on in varying degrees, on different levels, in different ways. But W.H. Dunbar had a plan for a $6,000 courthouse in Rockport, but they accepted on February 16, 1858, and it came in at $12,000. I've never seen a commissioner alive that wouldn't make that just would make them cringe, coming in that high over budget. Then it was condemned in the 1880s and sold for $600. When it was condemned, this is the interesting part, that Tarkio made a hard play and offered to build them the new courthouse, but the county seat remained at Rockport. When F.A. Foster was selected to design the courthouse, they received the building on May 9th, 1883. The county paid $15,000, and the local citizens paid $10,000. And it is one of the most beautiful buildings you'd ever see. I'm sure it's got to be something y'all are so proud of.
We are. It's one of the things that we've worked on hard since Richard and I both have been here as county commissioners, that we've tried to keep it up and do our part. I mean, it's part of our history, not just from a local standpoint, but it's just history of our nation.
It is a beautiful building, and I'm sure at times it's got to be a little hard to balance. Maintain an old building is more expensive. There's always more cost. Boy, this is such a great landmark, you know.
It is, and we struggled there a few years ago. We put some new steps out front and put in, for a long time we weren't ADA compliant with our handicap accessibility. So out here to the west where we put in our ramp, you know, we were trying to make sure we stayed with the aesthetics of the building while still updating it, and that always becomes an issue, but we work hard at it, and we're fortunate enough that so far we've had the means to do that.
It looks like you've struck the right balance. I mean, it is even with the signage out in the hallway, I mean, it's got an older feel, but it's really, you know, it's new and nice, but it still kind of has that old feel. You can kind of imagine your predecessors in here making decisions for the folks in the county. So I was reading about the Civil War, always something that touched every county. It seems like here most of the activity was in the Kansas struggle and Nebraska struggle bleeding over here. And there wasn't any major battles, but there was a big violence between bushwhackers and skirmishes. I read where the 36th Missouri Regiment, a Union regiment, was set at Nottoway County. So I guess, you know, this was close enough that they did, nobody wanted to go too far here because they might have that regiment come over and straighten everything out.
Right.
Did you all ever hear of any major Civil War issues or just
no.
probably just bushwhackers? And
no, I have never had anybody talk about that. Actually,
it's a rarity, but I guess sometimes being in the far northwest corner, it's got its disadvantages, but sometimes it has its advantages, I assume. Then the Supreme Court gets back involved here. In 1867, a flood straightened a bend of the Missouri River, and a part of Nebraska was moved over, about a 5,000-acre plot.
See that?
Yeah.
See that white? That's
that
actually
cut out?
That's actually land.
Yeah.
But that's Nebraska.
And how do you say the island?
McKissick.
McKissick. So McKissick Island, that used to be where the river ran. The flood straightened it out, and Nebraska claimed it, Missouri claimed it. And again, the Supreme Court just has no mercy on Atchison County.
No.
They took that, which I bet you that is some good farmland.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Where that was flooding. That's probably good land. It's this big chunk of Nebraska. It almost cuts Missouri in two up there a little bit, but maybe not quite.
So, you actually, in order to get to it, you'd have to go up. They've actually got to go up into Iowa.
Without breaking any laws, you have to go up to Hamburg and back down to the
island.
You can jump off the interstate and get on the levee on the nation he bought in a levee.
I bet they'd like that. the way to access that is to go all the way up and down. I see where you can come up and down there on the
go up 275 to Hamburg and then over and back down.
Tell me about the bridge.
Brownville Bridge.
Brownville, but yeah. There is a way to get to Nebraska from here, right?
Yeah, the Highway 136 goes straight across. And so,
two-lane, four-lane?
It's a two-lane bridge.
Two-lane bridge.
Years ago, I believe it was built as a toll bridge.
Was there not?
Yep. I remember my dad paying toll to over nickel.
Missouri has had really good luck with toll bridges, really. I mean, you go down the lake, that was a very successful bridge. You know, in some states, they say they're never going to take them out. But at the lake, they got rid of the toll when it was done. You know, there's been, I don't know that all highways can be that way, but a bridge seems to be like a real easy way to pay for itself.
Fund it, yep.
Now, I read where there was Tarkio College from 1883 to 1991.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be a big deal.
It was a big deal.
What's the memories of that around here?
Richard, you want to start with that?
No, go ahead.
the memories are, I think it's still, to be honest with you, it's still fresh enough that people are still there. We've got it, what they call today, they call it Tarkio Tech, and they're trying to do some technical, or they have a technical school there. They're trying to do some plumbing, welding, different classes like that, and some adult-style classes. But there are some people who are still frustrated that the college isn't here. They're still working to try to see if we can keep it. We still have the campus. The campus is still there. The rec center, what they call the rec center, would have been where they played basketball and had baseball practices in the winter and stuff. That facility has actually been sold off to the high school thanks to the, in my opinion, the wind energy here that's produced here in the county and the farms that we have here. The school was able to take that facility over and pay for it and make it a nice facility that the community gets to use along with the school. Meaning if the wind wasn't here, I'm not sure the tax revenue would be there for the school that they could have afforded that. But then the campus is still there. There's dormitories, there's buildings. Rankin Hall is the administration building. It's on the historic registry. If you want to see a neat building, it is very neat.
There was one that was it had a bunch of different sides. I don't know how many sides to it. Almost like a concert.
That was a Mule Barn Theater.
Okay.
And that burnt back, I was probably in the early 90s, late 80s, it burnt. But that was part of the college. So they had, that was where they did their play, a lot of their plays and stuff. And so, that was an actual original mule barn that David Rankin had built for his farming operation. And as the years went on, they kind of converted into a theater.
Well, I've seen the photographs. It was beautiful.
It was.
It was a very big facility.
They spent a lot of money rebuilding it when they...
Yep.
And then the fire took it in. So why did the college go out? Just lack of students or...
Mismanagement.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. But now you say there's some work to bring it back as a trade school?
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Those things are needed.
Yeah, really? I agree.
He was talking about the wind farms. They actually have a company that runs the maintenance on the wind turbines right now. They have a school over there now. They're training technicians to work on the turbines over there. So that's been a real asset for them to, you know, local hands-on. And that's been good for...
We're going to talk about Tarkio, Rockport, and all of Atchison County. We come back here. First, I want to thank our sponsors, the Missouri Farm Bureau and the Missouri Association of Electric Co-officials, come to places like Atchison County and discuss the history of the state one county at a time. We'll be right back after this.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the Missouri way of life. We're for worrying less about the what-ifs and more about the why-nots. We're for checking off your bucket list and then making a new one. For starting a family, a business, a tradition. And if you find yourself starting over, we're here for that too. We're for building a life in Missouri and then going out and living it. And when it comes to making sure everything you've built is protected, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance.
The Show Me Missouri podcast is brought to you by our friends at HALO, Heartland Area Landowners. HALO is a membership-based organization for folks interested in farming the sun and the wind. HALO members are passionate about their land, our world, and stewarding the resources that feed America, power, and its economy. Farming the sun and wind has incredible benefits for farmers, landowners, and all Missouri communities, all while helping secure America's energy independence. To learn more about HALO and how you can get involved, visit heartlandowners.farm. That's heartlandowners. Welcome back to Show Missouri. This is Missouri, one county at a time. We are in Atchison County at the beautiful, almost breathtakingly beautiful Atchison County Courthouse with Commissioner, Presiding Commissioner Kurt Leibowitz. Good, thank you for having us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And appreciate you coming up.
Commissioner Burke, thank you so much for making the time to visit with us.
You betcha.
Tell me about Atchison County today. Where do folks work at?
Well, there's a variety of workplaces that people from Atchison County work at. We've been real fortunate in our local towns that we have the Main Street buildings. People have come in and made little, shops out of them and are doing well there on their, as small businesses. A lot of people work over in Nebraska at the Brownville at MPP nuclear site over there. We have a lot of people that drive from here over there and work. We also have people that drive to Shenandoah that work at Pella Windows, and then they... I don't know whether very many, they don't go to Corindo, do they now? No.
Not so many?
No. But and then we have the regular farming community where they're farmers, plus the anhydrous tanks and the fertilizer companies that are really big in this county. They do really well. They hire a lot of people during the summer. They have a lot of people. We also have a entrepreneur who is Suzette's son, who has a crop flying business, which was really successful. They do a lot of work, employ a lot of people.
Well, Tarkio Airport's known far and wide for the quality.
He has his own personal airport out there for landing these, but he uses it a lot for
the Tarkio too
over there. Yeah,
that's awesome.
We still have three schools in the county.
Yeah, it's about the school.
So that employs several people. We have Fairfax, Tarkio, and Rockport all still have their schools. Fairfax and Tarkio have had to co-op for their sports, so they play sports together. It's called East Atchison. Then I'm going to throw him under the bus a little bit here, too. We still have a hospital in the county that his son is a doctor at the hospital. So
where's the hospital at?
It's in Fairfax. Several of the people around here, I was born at the old Fairfax Hospital, and then both my older two children were both born there, and then they built a new one, and my youngest daughter was born at the new hospital. So I suppose it had been about 2009, 2010 when it was open, somewhere in there. And then we do have one of the businesses you're talking about on Main Street. It's called Midwest Data, and that would have been earlier. We were talking about the phone co-ops and stuff that would have started through the Rockport Telephone where Richard worked. Then Midwest Data is a computer services business, and they've branched out. I mean, they've got...
Yeah, they've got like 60 employees now.
Yeah, so...
They went from 6 when I was there to 60, so...
Well, it's great, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know...
What's great for the community.
The truth is, almost every innovation since the Industrial Revolution has taken people from the farm to cities. When you can have that broadband internet at your house, it just lets people live the style of life they want to live, you know? It is, it's the first innovation that truly let people come back home. And if they want to live in a place like Atchison County, before, it could be economically hard. Now there's real possibilities to live a good life and make a good income. But what are you, an hour from the airport, hour and 15?
From Kansas City or
Omaha?
Omaha, we're about an hour and 10 minutes. In Kansas City, we'd be close to an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not bad.
I can get to a Chiefs game from my doorstep to the gate in 2 hours and 15 minutes to get in the gate.
So,
One of the big industries we've had here, too, is if you've driven around our county, is the wind.
That's what I was going to say. But I'm not sure that many people know. It's like when you're in Southeast Missouri, it's 2 hours to St. Louis, it's an hour and 40 to Memphis. You know, the rest of the people in the state, like when you go to the MAC conference next month, people don't, they think of the two major cities and the state capital. But when you're in Atchison, it's almost like where we're from, Memphis is a little easier to get, a little quicker. Omaha, I didn't know. Omaha is an hour and 10 from here.
Yeah, I actually, when we talk about where MAC conference is going to be and they moved it to the lake, when I first became a county commissioner, we were at Jeff City. I loved it at Jeff City because that was an opportunity for us to get in front of our legislators.
Yeah.
It was a lot easier. And the reason that's important is because we're 4.5 to 5 hours away from Jeff City. So I tell everybody when we have that discussion now that sitting where we're sitting today, I can get to the capital of Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa quicker than I can get to the capital of Missouri.
How far are you from Des Moines?
Des Moines, we're about 3 hours. Lincoln, we're an hour and 30 minutes. And Topeka would be what? Two hours.
Probably. Two. Man. The math is different when you're in the corner of the state like
that. Right.
And most of that stuff is built kind of with the thought of, you know, folks in the middle of the state or, you know, in St. Louis, Kansas City epicenters. It is it's a different type of math when you really step back and think about this type of stuff.
Yeah, for us to go down and like if we had something that we felt important and we needed to go get in front of our legislators, for us, we'll spend more time on the road getting there and back than we will in front of the legislators. That's a struggle sometimes to get motivated to go do that.
I read something interesting. You talk about the wind farms. I read where Rockport is 100% wind powered.
Yes. So the way that they evaluate that is, so when the very first wind farm came in 2007, 2008, like something like that, they set up 4 wind turbines out here to the west part of town that's produced from those wind turbines goes directly to the city. They've since, the city has gotten rid of their generator and stuff, so now it just goes on the grid like all the power does. But those 4 wind turbines produce in a year's time more energy than the city of Rockport uses. So that's how they can be determined.
You still are on the grid too.
Yes.
You know. But years ago when they first did all that, and the city still had their own generators, that you could go down there at times and the meter would actually spin backwards because the power, there was more power coming in than the city was using.
Well, I've heard a lot of, you know, everybody's got an opinion on a wind turbine. Have they grown on people here? Are they popular or not popular?
We were pretty lucky in the sense that we've never had the big fights like some of the other counties. I mean, if you go just north of us in Page, Fremont County, some of those people, they're building new ones up there right now, and some of those people were against them. We've never had that. And as a commissioner, I've never had anybody really upset, say anything negative about them other than they don't want to hear them, they don't want to look at them, you know, things like that. But it's not been a, they're making me sick. Or they can be. You can hear a pretty good-sized whoosh from several hundred yards away. Richard has one on his farm.
You could, if it's turned just the right direction, away, you could, it makes a real significant sound. You know, if you're within 100 yards of it, you could hear it. It's a whoosh, whoosh. boosh, I mean, it's pretty loud sound. But I don't really notice it if it happens to be out just the right direction, turn the right direction, you know.
That's kind of so it's sort of like the key to mine and my girlfriend's relationship. I'm kind of hard of hearing. And that
aren't
has been
we
a
all?
Very that has been a very valuable thing for us. We kind of like to have a winter. But just so folks know that you get paid to have it on your property, right?
Correct.
Yes.
And it's a pretty fair deal, right?
You bet.
And one of the things I would like to say about what the wind has done for our county, I mean, first of all, the tax generation is enormous, and we would never be able to do some of the things we do as commissioners without that money coming in. Same way with our school districts and things. But even more important than that to me has been, I feel like we have some young, good families that are here in our county because they can stay here and make the money they need to make. In other words, they were young kids that were going to make a certain amount of money. They wanted to live a certain lifestyle. They wanted to have a new pickup every 3 years. They wanted a nice home. And they were going to go to Omaha or Kansas City or St. Joe or Maryville and have that, and now they're staying here.
Yeah.
And they're putting those kids in a school. And even if they're only having two kids, that's big for our school districts.
Sure.
When you're having – so I feel like our community has changed since in the last
–
yeah, in the last 15, 20 years because the wind is here in our county.
I tell you, I was – we were up in Schuyler County last week, mm-hmm. and the data center fight hit Jeff City. And I do a lot of radio interviews and stuff. And I was like, how in the world could you not want a data center? I mean, the complaints you hear from DeKalb County folks, you don't want to look at them. Well, a data center is just a building. So maybe you're not going to see it unless you're like turkey hunt or something. You walk up on it. I mean, there's right. No reason to even see it. I'm like, and you go look up at Schuyler County School of Queen City. It is a beautiful school. I went to a very small 2A, sometimes 1A, bounce back and forth school. And we were proud of it, but let's be honest with you, it could have used some work.
Right.
And that school, Queen City, everybody's proud of it. It is a real positive place. And you can only do that because of them wind turbines.
Right.
There's no other way you have that school.
Yeah, if you go like the rec center that I was talking about earlier that was the college's facility. And now, I mean, if you go look at that facility, I was actually having a conversation with a guy last week that it's probably really almost too big and too nice of a facility for the school, because now you don't get, when we have ball games, those big rivalry ball games, and even though you pack it, it doesn't have the same, you can't get as loud. You don't have that home because it's such a big, nice facility. I mean, there's no schools. I travel a lot with my kids playing ball, and I don't know of, I mean, there's a nicer facility over there at Tarkio for a 1A school than some of the 4 or 5A schools have.
Yeah.
Down, you know, I mean, they have bigger facilities, but they're not any nicer than what is sitting right here in our county. We're very fortunate. And again, that's here because of the wind.
That's what, to me, the data center fight's hilarious. I'm like, you should be fighting for those.
Like now, we were talking about our data center, and one of the pluses for it was we're centrally located in the United States. So they've gone out and gotten business all around states, you know, that's they
probably helps that data center, that data company too, right?
Yeah, they have data backups. Or,
yeah, you got to run through there.
Yeah,
well,
it's tremendous.
Hurricane Katrina helped that for us in a situation.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Once they had, so the gentleman that was running it at the time was from Louisiana. So then when Hurricane Katrina hit down there, then he went and got some contracts. So they have backup systems up here. And
that's one thing you ain't got to worry about here in Missouri.
Yeah,
we ain't gonna get, it might
exactly.
be a little rain shower, but that
yeah. tornado, yeah.
We worry about
yeah.
tornado.
Yeah. But tell me about the politics here. Is it like most rural counties, it was Democrat from the Depression on, and then it slowly changed, and now it's pretty Republican. Is that how Atchison County's went?
I would say so. Very much so.
Yeah.
You start to move in the 80s a little bit.
Yeah, my dad
crested with Trump.
My dad always talks about back when he was first, in his 30s, building his business and stuff, that it was the farmers were Democrats and the businessmen were Republicans. And I would say we're more heavily Republican at this point in time. But at the same token, I would say the difference between Republicans and Democrats here is not what you see on TV. Like, the issues are way narrower that separate us.
As I've traveled this state and met people in county office, you know, most of these decisions are not particularly ideological decisions. They're math decisions.
Exactly.
And judgment. And the folks didn't change. And the folks that are now running as Republicans probably 30 years ago and ran as Democrats and probably made the exact same decisions.
Right.
The folks of the state didn't change. Things around us, nationally,
I would agree with that.
So tell me about the schools. You mentioned Fairfax and Tarkio have teamed up. What is the big rival? Do you have eight-man football up here?
Yes, we do.
So is that the big game?
Yes. EA and Rockport's always a big game. Back when Rockport and Tarkio both were playing 11-man football, which would have been Richard could speak more about this. That would have been when his son was playing ball and stuff. I grew up playing eight-man football at West Nottoway, where I grew up. But that, you know, it actually used to be called the Atchison County Super Bowl. Is that what they used to call it?
Well, they still try to call it
that. Yeah, when Rockport and Tarkio played each other, it was Atchison County.
Okay, tell me how eight-man football works. What's the differences from 11?
It's faster.
Is the field still as wide?
Yes.
No.
Yes, it's as wide. It's just not long. As long.
It's 80 yards long.
Oh, 80.
Yes.
Okay.
80 yards. 80 yards long, but it's still just as wide. So then you take three guys off, so it's just a faster, more wide open game.
More offense?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Much more.
A lot of scoring.
That's why you get 70, 80. Some teams score 60, 70.
Five men on the line and 11 men. How many people on the line and eight men?
Well, it depends.
Five and three. Five linemen and three. Backs.
Can be, yeah, or they'll pull one end off and put him out at wide receiver. But
yeah.
So there's no running back?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you got a running back, one wide receiver?
Yep.
And a quarterback?
Yep.
Huh.
Usually.
It sounds like you have fun. I've never actually seen an eight-man game. I'd like to see.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where does the line start where it's kind of a North Missouri thing, eight-man football? Where do they start having – where does eight-man football teams stop? Like, what's the furthest south?
It's actually changing.
It's changing. It used to be the I-70, you know, north of I-70 and up into Northwest Park because of the smaller communities, you know. But it's kind of moved now back down into the – below that.
What's the furthest south you can recall playing?
Concordia, which is right on I-70.
Is that right?
And I know
South of I-70, isn't it?
Right on I-70.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
But yeah, we went
Cass Midway, and aren't they eight man now?
What's that?
Cass Midway?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't answer that.
Concordia, yeah, that's
yeah,
that's
I know a couple years ago we went to Concordia.
Huh. I didn't know that. Yeah.
I take that back. We played a football game in Concordia. I don't know if it was Concordia.
Okay.
I better.
I've heard people actually, you know, at first didn't like it, but it's very popular now. I've heard people took to it very well.
So, Northwest Missouri, we went to it my freshman year of high school. So, my eighth grade year, we played half our games 11-man, half our games 8-man, and then my freshman year, we went all 8-man here in Northwest Missouri. Rockport and Tarkio, back in those days, would have been about the only schools right here in Northwest Missouri, 275 Conference, that stayed 11-man. And what I've always said was it's a more wide-open game, so you get those big linemen who maybe are a little slower. They could get exposed a little bit because the game's faster and stuff. But we still hit. You still put the pads on and you still hit. It's still
what's the defense alignment? What's your normal defense, your base defense?
When I was a kid, we always played like a 3-3 or a 3-4. Depends on how good your linebackers are.
Yeah. And you'd play that in eight-man, too, and then one safety?
Yeah.
They play some four-man fronts, depending on the team they play. Of course, if they're a team that rushes, they'll go to a four-man front.
Yeah.
Most generally, it's three.
You can run a 4-3 or a 3-4 or a 3-3.
Depending on how fast those linebackers are.
Yeah. If you've got really good linebackers,
who do you put on that wide receiver, then? Just one of your linemen?
No.
No, usually the safety would go out to your wide receiver. And then if you put, like, a running back out, then – that's why I say it depends on your linebackers.
Yeah.
Then your outside linebacker may cover him.
But that's it's probably more fascinating than maybe our listeners want to hear. But I've just heard so many things about it. I've heard it's very popular. I heard most folks, you know, you probably nostalgic, but really like it. It's been good for the athletic programs. What's the basketball rivalry? Is it still the Atchison County Bowl?
Yeah, I mean the East Atchison and Rockport game is always going to be big, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And then Mount City, which is Holt County, it's starting to be, and Rockport's starting to become a pretty good rivalry there.
When Fairfax was by itself, they had a really good basketball program down there. So they were really, you know, at one time, they were probably the, at, you know, had the better basketball team of the three at times, you know. But
yep. Let's talk about some of the famous folks in Atchison County. Now, you may know some. I'm just going to start with the obvious two, the Graves brothers. I tell you, this entire state, Sam Graves carries it on its back sometimes. I mean, to me, the whole point of a member of Congress is to bring home money, and nobody in this state is as dedicated to Missouri, and not just to North Missouri, his district, to the entire state, than Sam Graves. It's got to be a real point of pride to call Sam Graves home.
Yeah, it's good to be able to reach out to him when we need to.
And I think you need to put Zell Fisher right there beside him.
I was going to be right there. I was going to talk about Todd. Todd, very accomplished U.S. attorney, big law firm in Kansas City. I really just think it's hard to say enough good things about what Sam Graves does, not just for North Missouri, but how, I mean, a lot of the members of Congress just don't get anything done for their districts, and people end up having to go to him from all over the state to ask for help. And I've seen him have an open door to folks. If you got a really good project, even if it's not in his district, he'll put his shoulder behind it. I don't think he ever gets enough credit for that. In an age where so many people like to just sit on the internet or TV and talk and never really do anything, he actually does the real things for the folks of this, not just North Missouri, but for the whole state.
Well, unfortunately, you probably see that somewhat better than we do because he is here.
Yeah.
And so we don't understand what all he's doing in other places, maybe.
Well, you go anywhere in this state and you say you're from Tarkio, and anybody with any sense is going to say Sam Graves.
Yeah.
He did this.
That's true. That's definitely true. Yeah.
It's almost like he's become a United States Senator with his position in Congress.
I actually had that happen at the State Fair this year.
I bet. Absolutely. Now, my buddy, I want you to tell folks about the Supreme Court judge. I call him the patron saint of associate court judges. Because he's the only one that went from the associate bench to the Supreme Court, Zell Fisher. Tell folks about Zell.
I go fishing in Canada with Zell.
He can tell stories.
So maybe I'm not the guy to talk to.
Maybe you are the guy to talk to. I don't know. I tell you what, I've always felt like there are judges that know a lot about the law. Then there's some judges that kind of get there because they know a lot of people. Zell Fisher, and I put him in league with Mary Rose Russell. They are the two folks. Zell Fisher could have been a star lawyer. He could be a tremendous judge. He could have been a governor. He could make policy, write laws, interpret laws. I really feel like it is such a benefit to that court to have two people, in him and Judge Russell, who truly could do it all. They are absolutely the type of people who can understand the entire dynamic of a situation better than anyone I've ever seen in the judiciary. Zell Fisher could size up the law, which I don't know much about. He could size up the politics. He could size up the business. He can size up how this is going to affect things three moves down the road, and he does it all with a country smile trying to slow play you.
He is a person's person.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've watched him be able to sit on a bar stool and talk to.
He can talk to anybody and relate to them just like that. Whether they're a millionaire or a farmer or just an everyday guy working on the street, he just associates to them right now.
I've walked out of the governor's mansion with him, where he mixed in with everybody just fine and was very was the belle of the ball, and I've watched him stagger on the side of the street with a guy who's obviously down on his luck. I've never seen him miss a beat.
Right.
That is a rare, rare quality in a person. Look him both in the eye, make the guy at the governor's mansion feel like he was interested in what he had to say and respectful, and that old boy down on his luck on the sidewalk. He's one of the most impressive people I've ever known. You've got to feel pride having him be an Atchison County guy.
Yeah, he has an office here in the courthouse. Right now, we actually are one of the few courthouses in the state that have three sitting judges that have offices here in our courthouse.
Is that right? That's awesome.
Yeah.
It is. I've been forever impressed at his ability to relate to folks and to see an issue and see all the angles, almost intuitively, see how all the angles, how it's going to affect people, how a decision's going to, the politics of it, how it's going to impact different things. I'm not sure I really know anybody that is able to see an issue just and understand it. Just immediately upon it being explained to him, he kind of just sees five steps down. It is a very impressive trait, and I really enjoyed knowing him.
Can I tell you a little story?
I'd love for you to. That's why I came up here.
You may know this. You know, he travels from Atchison County to Jefferson City. He was bound and determined that he was going to take his boat on the Missouri River from Brownville to Jefferson City, and he did. Or he got a
short... Where'd he get off at?
He ran out of gas. Just north of Jefferson City. So he had to call one of his law interns to come.
Well, that's got to be a humble and long call.
Who else would do that? Who else would? What other Supreme Court judge would get in a boat? And it's not a very, it's just a fishing boat, okay? It's not a cabin cruiser or anything like that. But
I love
go to work in a boat.
But how, I mean, Zell grew up out in the Watson community, so yes. How far would, if he would have grown up?
Two and a half miles from the river. 2.5 miles from the river, he grew up.
Well, I'm trying to think. I guess there's not that many places to refill your boat.
No. Probably not a lot of marinas along the river.
It's not like Lake Ozarks when you can pull over all these different places.
Not a lot of marinas.
I love that story. Well, I can see from Kelton, our time's drawing short. I want to thank one more time our sponsors, the Missouri Farm Bureau, the Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops, letting us come to places like Atchison County and hear stories like the times L's boat ran out of gas down the Missouri River. Commissioner Burke, if you had somebody come up here and you was going to show them Atchison County, where would you take them and what would you show them?
Well, I probably right now, right off the bat, would take them out and show them the wind turbines and explain to them, you know, what they are, what they're about, and what they've done for the county. And I'd also...
Wouldn't that be a cool trip? You could take them and show them the wind turbine. Then you can take them over and show them a place like that rec center and how this directly benefits folks that don't own them, that, you know, whatever, they're not even their land or anything, but how it benefits them.
Yep.
That's an interesting loop you can close there.
Yeah, and they're all close. And then from there, I'd probably take them over to the Brownville Bridge and the Missouri River and show them the, you know, that's kind of our history here is where it moved from the river this way when they started settling. So, I probably would take them to the data center and introduce them to people down there, or people like that.
Commissioner Lively, where would you take somebody if they came up for the day?
I think I'm spoiled because I see it often, but I'd probably bring them here to the courthouse because all the visitors, everybody that comes and visits says what you guys have said here today, that how beautiful it is. And so I think maybe we take it for granted because it's here. And so I'd probably bring them to the courthouse and let them see it and hope that made an impression on them.
Just the way it sets on the hill and the beautiful brickwork, it's just got to be a point of pride to everybody in the county to be able to drive by and say, that's my county, and that's the representation of our county government. Whoever sits in your chair, I mean, when you took the job from your predecessor, this is an amazing place to be the steward of.
Right. And I feel very fortunate that the people entrust me with that. And one other thing I would like to say, when we were talking earlier, you're talking about the graves, is there's a picture right out through that door of the bridge, the Brownville Bridge, and Sam's, is it his grandpa?
His grandpa.
Sam's grandpa was a commissioner when that bridge was built. So his name is on that
That's awesome.
Bridge right now.
Sam's name should be on a lot more things throughout this state, I'll tell you. Well, I'm very grateful for the hospitality. Thank you all so much for having us up and making the time today. I'm very grateful. That was the history of Missouri, talking about Atchison County here on Show Missouri. This year, Missouri, one county at a time, from the beautiful county courthouse in Rockport, Missouri. We'll see you next week.
Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.